the midday anchor over at News Nation, is Connell McShane. Connell, welcome back to the show. How are you?
How are you doing? Yeah.
Good. How are you doing Thanksgiving this year? Do you celebrate with family? Do you travel? What do you do?
Yeah, just myself this year. I'd like to avoid the family as much as possible. What are we doing? We're going to my brother-in-law is hosting, which is nice. He can this way we don't have to clean up, so we're going over his place. So my parents are coming, my wife's parents, his in-laws. So nice crowd. Should be good.
Nice. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the major news stories of the day. This Epstein thing, I guess, is top of the fold for most of the print papers in America and the websites. I have to tell you, it hasn't gone away. But if you had asked me a month ago if this thing is still going to be this thing, I would not have anticipated this level of interest. How about you?
You know, that's a tough one. I mean, there's a lot of interest, or was, in the kind of the MAGA faithful wing of Trump's coalition. So that's kind of where all this energy started. And then, of course, once the president became president again, and there was kind of a push to hold back on what was being released, then you had the interest on the left. So it's all converging. So it's one of those rare issues where kind of both fringes are coming together and saying, mm-hmm. Hey, we want to see these things. So I think that's driving the interest. Here's what I would say. Well, I'll say a few things all at once. I think the big story of the day today, the biggest news story of the day, is what Trump's doing on the economy. And the reason I say that is because his best political issues have always been the economy and immigration. He's now underwater on both, right? He's struggling on both. I think enforcement of immigration is an issue for him. You're seeing that playing out in your city again, and it has been with the back and forth on immigration. On the economy, what he's now doing with the tariffs seems to me to be kind of a tacit admission that things were not going so well and that things didn't go well in the election. So he's pulling back now on some of the tariffs that he had in place against a number of countries, and he's trying to do it to take on affordability. You know, he's reducing exemptions or tariffs on coffee and bananas, and, you know, whether it's Ecuador, Argentina, Guatemala, El Salvador. So to me, that's a sign that he knows this is the issue. Now, I say that because, to me, that's a more important issue in the long run than the Epstein story. But where Trump, I think, is making a strategic mistake on the Epstein story is in the way he's handling it. At first, not being as forthcoming as many people wanted him to be. And now that it's back in the news, and even when it might have faded away for a couple of days, today coming out and doubling down on the story and putting it back out there by, you know, just posting on Truth Social a short time ago that he's going to encourage the Department of Justice to go after other people associated with Epstein, whether it's the guy from J.P. Morgan, you know, President Clinton was mentioned, Larry Summers, these people that, you know, we know had some sort of association with Epstein. So Trump is at both avoiding the story, and then when people stop talking about it as much, doubling down and putting it back in the news. So I think the way he's handling it is actually making it a bigger story right now.
It's interesting. And, you know, the man is unimpeachable, it appears. It's not to say, though, that justice for the girls that were abused is not worth pursuing. And if other people are found to be guilty of crimes as a result of the release of the files, then let's proceed apace. But as a political story, I think Trump is rather insulated from it. He can't be convicted of a crime, and he won't be impeached. So I think it's scandalous. And it sure does appear as though, just reading the selected releases from Democrats and Republicans, it appears as though he knew what was going on. He knew what was going on. And, you know, I can say that on the radio. That doesn't hold up in a court of law. There's rules and regulations. You know, there's measures of evidence that isn't. But it sure does appear as though he knew what was going on. The dog is barking. So I don't know what the consequences of that are going to be. But to your point, politically, maybe there are no consequences to that. One last thing, though, I will ask you to comment on, and that is, okay, so Donald Trump survives this. But what about all of the Republican members of Congress who need to, or Democrats for that matter, need to line up on this thing? Like, how are you going to vote? What are you going to say about it? Are you going to criticize the president for it? Is that going to be consequential, maybe in the next election or now?
You know, what's going to happen in the short term is that the House, you know, they have this discharge petition now that they have the new member of Congress from Arizona sworn in. So they have the numbers to kind of try to force the release of the so-called files. Now, what I don't know, and I actually think it's an interesting political question just analytically to look at, is what's going to happen on the Senate side, because I think there will be, you know, there'll be a lot of pressure on once that passes for United States senators to do the same thing, right? Because people are going to say exactly what you said. Listen, what's the argument for holding this back? At the same time, you could imagine, I could imagine a world in which John Thune and the leadership on the Republican side of the Senate just says, you know, we have more important things to worry about, and they don't move forward with it, and that's where it dies. And that's one of the reasons I think the president's kind of making a strategic mistake here politically in adding fuel to the fire now by talking more about it as opposed to, you know, trying to focus on the things that that affect people's lives on a day-to-day basis, like the economy where he's struggling. Maybe that's why he doesn't want to talk about it, or, you know, getting his act together with that, the way he enforces his immigration policy. But the Epstein stuff could very well die in the Senate, like in terms of what we see, because there's no obligation necessarily for the Senate to pick up what the House is going to pass.
Back to your point, though, that the thing that will really impact our lives is the economy, the expensiveness, the cost of things. The Fed is kind of holding its breath right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough spot because there's an uncertainty kind of related to the tariff policy that we knew was there for quite a while. There's also the job situation in this country, which is clearly getting worse, not better. So the Fed has this dual mandate where they have to look at both employment and prices, prices being inflation or, you know, God forbid, even worse, deflation. But right now, inflation, rising prices is the concern. So they have to look at all of this at once. Now, what makes it difficult for them to forecast, obviously, as we've been talking about forever, are the tariffs, because that's what Trump has been using as this mechanism to try to get pretty much anything that he's trying to get done, done. You know, he uses them as a negotiating tactic. Now, as an economic measure, tariffs undoubtedly add to the inflation problem, because they're a tax on the American consumer who ends up paying the tariffs when they're passed down. Now, you could say, well, they're not all passed down. They're not. Some of the companies have been eating the costs, so that hurts the companies, makes them less profitable. Some have been passing down a little bit. That hurts the consumer, makes them pay more in taxes. So now Trump is doing things like suggesting that we give money back to people from the tariff revenue. Well, if you look at one study that says that the tariffs are costing the average American like $1,800 and that's what Trump's going to give you back, well, that's a wash, right? That check that's coming back for a lot of people, or at least in the aggregate for the economy. So, you know, I think this issue is going to hang around this president, because he came in and said, I'm going to make it better than it was under Biden. Now, he can argue that the average rate of inflation is lower now than it was under Biden. It is. But the rate when Trump came in January 20th of this year and where it is now, it's the same. He came in with about 3% inflation. And now we have about 3% inflation. So it hasn't budged much. It's been stubborn. And that's the issue that's really hitting this president. Remember when he had all his problems politically in his first term, and there were plenty and impeachments and all the rest, he still polled relatively well on the economy. And that's not the case now. The AP had him like 30 plus points underwater on the economy. We've never seen that for Trump.
Conor McShane from News Nation. You can watch him starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon everywhere. And it's always a pleasure to hear his voice on WGN Radio a little before our 11 o'clock news. Thank you, Conor.
All right. Thank you, John.